Thank you, Jesus. It's in your name we pray. And all of God's people together said, amen, amen. You may be seated this morning. Welcome. We're glad you're here. If you're a guest, first-time guest, we're excited you're here. Welcome to Two Rivers Bible Church. If you brought a guest this morning, we're proud of you for doing that, for being part of the mission and bringing people to come experience God this morning. So I want to start by asking a question, and the question is, how many of you have been here for less than 6 months? Raise your hand if you've been here less than 6 months at Two Rivers. Raise your hand if you've been here less than 6 months. How about 9 months? Have you been here less than 9 months? Raise your hand. 9 months. All right. Got one hand over there. How about less than a year? Have you been here less than a year? Raise your hand. No? There we go. We got less than a year. How about less than a year and a half? You've been here for less than a year and a half. All right. We got a year and a half. How about, this is the last one. How about less than 2 years? Less than 2 years. All right. We got some of you guys less than 2 years. You know, as I ask that question, I think about, you know, for many of you, especially if you've been here 2 years or less, as you've come to Two Rivers, you've noticed something maybe different about this church. You know, there's something that resonates maybe perhaps deep inside of you, and maybe it's something you can't really identify or really can't put your finger on, but you know that there's something different here that maybe you haven't seen in other churches here in the city, and you find yourself maybe sometimes with the lack of words or the absence of words to be able to describe that. You know, I put it this way. Maybe there's something invisible at work that is irresistible to notice. Maybe that's what you've seen. You're seeing that there's something invisible at work that is irresistible to notice. You know, you don't know quite what it is. You know it's invisible because you can't quite put your finger on it. You know, that it exists, that it's here, but you're not quite sure what it is. It's invisible to you, but it's irresistible. You know, you kind of notice it in a way. You kind of know that it's there, but you're just not quite sure what it is. Another way of saying it is this way. There is something unexplainable around us, but yet so desirable within us, right? There's something unexplainable around us, but yet so desirable within us. In other words, there's something happening here in this church that is very unexplainable. As a matter of fact, if somebody were to ask you, why do you go to Two Rivers? It might be that you're trying to say, well, I'm not quite sure what it is. I can't really explain it, but boy, there's something going on in there. It's unexplainable, but it's so desirable within us. It's so desirable within me. I just want to go there. I just want to be part of that. Well, this morning, what I want to do is I want to explain the unexplainable. I want to explain the unexplainable this morning. I want us to all be in the same page kind of and kind of see what Two Rivers is all about and maybe perhaps give words to your feelings, give words to that sense deep inside of you that says, I just don't know what it is, but I want to know what it is because I like it. Well, we're going to give you words this morning that you can actually be able to pinpoint, aha, that's what it is. So we're going to try and explain the unexplainable. And the first thing that you've got to know, there's five things you got to know about what you're experiencing. And the first thing is this. You need to know our mission. You need to know our mission. And our mission is to lead people to know God and to make Him known. Like if you had to put in just in a brief, just kind of, you know, statement, that is the core mission of this church. As a matter of fact, not only is it the core mission of this church, but it should be the core mission of every single church of Jesus Christ. And the mission of the church, as it's described by Jesus to us, is that we ought to be leading people to know Him and to make Him known. Now, let me explain that for just a moment. The know Him, what does that mean? In other words, that our mission here at this church is that you would have this knowledge of Jesus Christ in your life, that you would know Him personally, that you would know Him in a way that you've never known Him before, that Jesus becomes not a God of a distance, but Jesus becomes a God of the here and now. That's our mission, that you would know Him. Our goal is to lead you to have this growing relationship with Jesus Christ. and that you would know him, not just know about him, but actually know him at a personal level, and that that relationship continues to grow. And that's part of our mission, to lead people to know God, to experience his love, to know him personally, but also to make him known. In other words, that not only do we want you to know him and to grow in your faith and in your knowledge of who he is and your experience of him, but we want you to be so filled with his knowledge of who he is that compels you to make him known to other people, to invite other people to come with you and experience that same knowledge, that same experience of who Jesus is in your life. That's our mission, to lead people to know God and to make him known as a result. That mission is important. It's very, very important. A church without a mission is like a cowboy without a horse, you know? It needs a mission. It's essential that the church have a mission. A church without a mission is like a spaceship without a destination. Can you imagine that? A spaceship and doesn't have a destination? In 1969, Apollo 11 had a mission. And its mission was to go to the moon. And not only to go to the moon, but to deliver three men to that moon. And that was the mission of Apollo 11. Neil Armstrong was one of the astronauts that was there. And as he landed on the moon and made his first step into it, he said, "This is one small step for man, one giant leap for who? For mankind." You see, they had a mission, and that mission was to take that spaceship and land it in the moon, and not only take that spaceship and land it there, but to land these three astronauts that would experience something that no one else had ever experienced up to that point in humanity. A mission is important. A mission is critical. Without a mission, the church perishes. And that's why our mission is to lead people to know God and to make him known. But let me show you that from Scripture, actually. I want you to go to Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. Go to Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. Let me show you where I get this mission of God. It's not just Jesse saying it, but as a matter of fact, it's in the very lips of Jesus, this mission. And so go to verse 19 in chapter 28 of Matthew. And that verse reads like this. It says, "Therefore, go and make disciples." Now, the command here in that little phrase, it's not the going. The going is like as you do life. That's what it means. As you go and do life, I want you to do one thing, Jesus says. And what I want you to do is to make disciples. Now, pause there for just a moment. The word discipleship is not one that we use in everyday language. You know, we're not at work saying, "Hey, man, are you a disciple?" You know, we're not gathering during our Thanksgiving saying, "Hey, disciple so-and-so." You know, or did you hear about disciple Bob? No, it's not a word that we commonly use, so we've kind of lost the meaning of discipleship is. But to put it quite simply, discipleship is very simple. Discipleship is to follow the leadership of Jesus. That's simply put, that's what discipleship is. Discipleship is following the leadership of Jesus. The 12 disciples, what do? They followed the leadership of Jesus. Where Jesus went, they went. You know? It's to follow the leadership of Jesus. It's to follow what Jesus said was important. To follow what he said we ought to do is to follow his leadership in every area of our lives. That's discipleship. So it says not only to be one, but to make one. In other words, lead people to follow Jesus' leadership. That's the command. Lead people to follow people's leadership. To follow people's leadership in their marriages. To follow Jesus' leadership in their finances, to follow Jesus' leadership in their work, to follow Jesus' leadership in their neighborhoods, to follow Jesus' leadership in their schools, to follow Jesus' leadership in the way they do life, and the way they study, and the way they work, and the way they relate with people, to follow the leadership of Jesus. And that leadership of Jesus is found in two places. It's found in Scripture. It is rooted in Scripture, the leadership of Jesus, but also it's rooted in the prompting and the movement of the Holy Spirit in your life, which never contradicts the word of God, Scripture. So that's our command, to make disciples, to help to lead people to follow Jesus. And then what Jesus is going to do is he's going to explain how to do that, how to do that. He says, of all nations, and then there's two participles, and I don't want to get tricky into the grammatical stuff, so but basically, we're going to see two ways in which we lead people to know God, and the first one is this, is baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Pause there for just a moment, baptizing. It has the idea not only of immersing somebody underwater, literally, but it has the idea of inviting people into a relationship with Jesus Christ. You see, part of the mission of God for us is that we would invite others to have relationship with him. And that's what baptism means. It means that at the core, at the root of our mission is this idea that we would introduce other people to who Jesus is. We would introduce other people to this relationship with God the Father through Jesus Christ. And that happens, you know, as a demonstration of that, that's what baptism is. And so he's saying, you know, one of the ways you make disciples is by introducing people to Jesus. And number two, verse 20 says, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. In other words, that the mission of God involves this teaching, but not just teaching. It's not that somebody, you know, is teaching you, you know, facts about Scripture. It's not that somebody is just grabbing the word and saying, hey, this is what it means historically. This is what happened back then. But rather, what it means is that you're teaching people how to apply God's word into their lives. And that's essential. And notice what happens when we do that, when we involve ourselves in the mission of God to know God and to make him known. Notice what happens when we engage in that. And it says, and surely I am with you, what? Always, to the very end of the age. In other words, when the Church of Jesus Christ, when TRBC, when True Rivers Bible Church engages in that mission to know God and to make him known, Jesus is present in a very real way. I am always with you. And so for some of you, as you've come to Two Rivers and you've thought, man, what is the difference? What is the thing? What is the it factor? Recognize that part of the it factor is the fact that Jesus is here with us. Present with us here in this experience because we're engaged in the mission that he has given to us. You know, Apollo 11, as it went to the moon, they didn't just go solo. They had a mission, yes, and they had to get to the moon, but they didn't go by themselves. They had Houston headquarters giving them direction, guidance to get there safely. In the same way, our leader, our supreme leader here at this church, it's not Jesse. It's not the elder board, though we are God's represented leaders here in this church, the supreme leader is Jesus Christ. It's Jesus Christ. And as we seek to pursue that mission of knowing God and making him known, leading people to do that, as every Friday morning the elders gather together and spend at least an hour on our knees praying for the church and praying for the needs of the church, what we're doing literally is saying, Jesus, lead us. That we may lead this congregation. He's our leader. He says, I am with you always to the very end of the age. And that's one of the intangible things that when you come to this church that you're like, well, what is it? It's a person. It's Jesus. That's who you're experiencing. That's the unexplainable. It's a person. Number two, in order to explain the unexplainable, you need to feel our desire. You need to feel our desire. And this is our desire, that every man, woman, and child have the repeated opportunities to hear, see, and respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's our desire. You might have heard us say that on multiple occasions already, and that is that every man, woman, and child would have the repeated opportunity to hear, to see, and to respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Every man, woman, and child. That's a tagline of ours. We believe in it. We believe that that is essential to the life of the church. Notice in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Let me show you where that comes from. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. It says, but you will receive what? Power. Power. The word power there is the Greek word dynamos, where we get the word what? Dynamite. Yeah. It's explosive power. And it says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. And listen to where it says it starts. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem. Now, that for them would have been their immediate city. For us, it's Gonzales, is this city, this county, Jerusalem. That's where it starts. You become witnesses of what God has done in your life, in your immediate area, in Jerusalem, and in Judea. That's the surrounding areas of our city. And Samaria. Samaria is those different ethnic groups around us. It's people that are different from us. And to the ends of the earth. To the ends of the earth, where Charlie is at right now. The Matlocks, Charlie, Christian, and Margarita, they're in Peru right now. To the ends of the earth. So this is where we get the idea that every man, woman, and child is important. We believe that. We're committed to that. Man, we would even die for that. That's part of the culture of Two Rivers Bible Church and what we believe in. And that's part of what you sense when you come in here, this aggressive sense of we want to reach every man, woman, and child, no matter of what they look like, their background, no matter what. You know that our research, we've done research several years now here in this city, and every year, we do it almost every 2 years, and every year we've seen that 80% of Gonzales, the city of Gonzales, is unchurched, 80%. Like 8 out of 10 people don't have an ongoing relationship with Jesus Christ. 8 out of 10 people don't have a church they call home. 8 out of 10. If you have 10 friends, 8 of them likely are not connected anywhere. In the school, in the high school, I think it's 90% unchurched. 9 out of 10 teenagers don't have a place they call home. Now, what does that mean? That means that they're important. That's the every man, woman, and child. And guess what? It's going to take every man, woman, and child that knows Jesus to reach every man, woman, and child that doesn't know Jesus. A couple years back, actually over a decade ago, 2 decades ago almost, Tim Hawks, which is the pastor of our mother church, Hill Country Lakeline in Austin, in Cedar Park, Austin area, he had gone to Mexico to meet with one of his missionaries there. And as he went out there, he talked with a missionary that was trying to reach a particular region in Mexico. And the missionary said, what do you think it would take to reach this city? And one of the things that they discovered is that if the church impacted 10% of the city, that they could actually impact every man, woman, and child. That is to say, what they had discovered was that if a single church impacted 10% of the city with Jesus Christ, and that 10% was activated towards sharing their faith, the gospel, the good news of having relationship with the Father through Jesus Christ, that if somehow that 10% was activated, that every man, woman, and child would have an opportunity to hear, see, and respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Guess what, folks? That applies here too. What would it look like? What would it look like if 10% of the city was reached for Jesus Christ here? What would it look like? What would it look like for those 8 out of 10 people that don't have a church they call home? If 10% of the city was engaged in sharing their faith. We're halfway there. We're almost halfway there. Here at Tourist Bible Church, we have close to 5%, close to it, about 4%, 4 to 5% of the city already that makes TRBC part of their home. What would it look like if we had 10% here in this church activated towards sharing the gospel? That's not that many. It's 700 people, right? I was talking with our staff and even our elders, and I made a comment. I said, what would it look like? What would it look like a 10 in 10 challenge? a 10 in 10 challenge. What if by our 10-year of existence, which, by the way, we're in year 8, what if by our 10th year, 2 years from now, we had 10% of our city here in this church? How would that change the way we approach ministry? How much more aggressive would we get with 2 more years to be like, you know what, we're halfway there. What if 10%? And it's not just so that we can get 10%, but that every man, woman, and child would have the opportunity, the repeated opportunity to hear, see, and respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ. You think we'd be able to see the power that is described in Acts? The power to witness? Absolutely. 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 Number three, you need to see our dream. You need to see our dream. In order to explain the unexplainable, you got to see our dream. And our dream is to reflect heavenly diversity. That's our dream, to reflect heavenly diversity. What does that mean? Go to Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. As you go there, I want you to keep in mind that a church that does not have diversity lacks the power to reflect the heart of God for the nations. The church that does not have diversity lacks the power to reflect the heart of God for the nations. Go to Revelation 7, verse 9. This is a picture of worship in heaven, by the way. This is a picture of worship. This is how worship is going to look like in heaven. And it says, after this, I saw a vast crowd, too great to count, from every nation and tribe and what? People. Every type of people, every kind of people, just and people and language, standing in front of the throne and before the Lamb, who is Jesus. They were clothed in white robes and held palm branches in their hands. And they were, what? Shouting. They were shouting with a great roar. They were shouting with a great roar. Now notice the diversity that is represented in heaven. Why is it that we can't seem to get our act together here in America and across the globe? That during the course of the week, oh, we're very diverse where we work. We have a lot of diversity, more diversity in our military. Every facet of life in America, we see diversity. We see different kinds of people, different shades of people, different colors of people, different socioeconomic types of people, different ages of people coming together. But on a Sunday morning, it's the most segregated day of the week. And yet, it should be the most diverse place in the face of the world. Why is that? We lack the ability as a church in general to be able to reflect the heart of God for the nations when we're not diverse. I love it here at Two Rivers because we see diversity. We see diversity. We see it in first hour, and then we definitely see it second hour. When people of different ethnic backgrounds are rubbing shoulders with one another, worshiping the same God. They don't care who's beside them or in front of them or behind them. Different age groups coming together. Man, we have such diversity in this church, from black, white, and Hispanic, from teenagers or preteens here in the worship area for sure, and then the kids' church as well, to the millennials, the 20 to 30-some-year-olds, and then the 40, 50-year-olds, 60-year-olds. We have a wide range, 70-year-olds, wide range of people here in this church, all worshiping the same God. And tell you what, that honors God. That pleases God. We have different people from different incomes, people that don't have much, that are on welfare, to people that own businesses and have much, to the middle class. That pleases God, and that's part of our heart here at this church. That's our dream, that we would see that kind of diversity displayed in here in this church, because we know that we want to take a slice of heaven and represent it here in earth in the diversity that we're able to reach. Number four, you need to understand our culture. You need to understand our culture. Our culture, we're a church for the unchurched. We're a church for the unchurched. And that's where you notice a little bit different, especially if you came from a background where you weren't a church attender. You didn't go to church anywhere. You had disconnected for so many years, maybe 5 years or more, and you walked yourself into this church and you felt, man, I feel relieved. I feel like I belong here. And it's because we're a church for the unchurched. We are dedicated to create an environment that unchurched people love to attend. We are creating an environment that unchurched people love to attend. That's why when you walk in, there's music in the background. That's why we offer coffee. Yes, we want to keep you awake during the message, but that's the second reason. The first reason is because when you walk in here, you may be a 400, 500, 600, whatever, in a big person, but if you have a cup of coffee in front of you, you can hide behind it. And we want you to hide behind it because we know that people get nervous when they walk into a church. We know that for a lot of people, they haven't been in church for a long, long time. Maybe they didn't even grow up in a church, and they're coming in, and they want to feel like they want to hide, and so a cup of coffee gets you hidden, right? There's music in the background so that you're not stressed. We're a church for the unchurched. We want you to come just as you are. No perfect people allowed. Don't stay there. Come as you are, don't stay there, but no perfect people allowed. We don't want hypocrisy in this church. We avoid the whole, you know, people that, oh, I'm better than you because I have my life better to get better than you do. And whoa, wait a minute. In this church, no, that's not our value at all. That's not our value. It's not a value that we have. Throughout the centuries, there's been this one question that has been asked over and over and over again. And it's this question, is the church for the church people or is it for unchurched people? Is it church for church people or is it for unchurched people? It's been asked for centuries and centuries. And the unspoken message of the church in general has been this. Once you think like us and behave like us, then you can come and worship with us. Wouldn't you say that's the truth? That the vast majority of the church thinks that way? That once you think like us and once you behave like us, then you're welcome to come and worship with us. That is the vast majority of the churches. And yet for us, we've decided that that's not the way we're going to see and formulate life. That's not the way we're going to interact with people. We've got to live with the tension. We've got to live with the messiness of life because people are messy. We are all messy. By messy, I don't mean the soccer player messy. I mean, messy, like we got, you know, baggage in our life. You knew it was coming, especially if you're a soccer fan. Go to Acts chapter 15. At some point, I want you to read all of it, but I'm gonna bring out a verse out of that. Acts chapter 15. Here is the church of Antioch, and they find themselves in a real dilemma. Because the church of Antioch, first of all, impacted the Jewish community, and the Jewish community were putting their faith in Jesus Christ. You see, a lot of Jewish people in the first century were putting their faith in Jesus. But guess what? The Jewish community already followed the Ten Commandments. And not only the Ten Commandments, they followed all 646 other commandments written in Scripture. And they were good at it. They were really good at it. And so you see a whole community of Jewish community, they start placing their faith in Jesus Christ. And guess what? They're not that messy. They're living moral lives. But then life gets messy because the church of Antioch started impacting the Gentile community. Those who didn't grow up in the Jewish community, people from diverse backgrounds, and guess what? They didn't know the Ten Commandments. They didn't know the 600 and some laws or commands in Scripture. They didn't know all of that. And so they start coming to church, and the Jewish community feels this tension, like, what's going on here? There's people that don't know Jesus, that don't know our culture, that don't think like us, that don't behave like us, are coming to our church. Do we have to have requirements for them? Do we have to have them go through circumcision? Do we have to have them do X, Y, and Z? Do they have to follow all these commands? And they're in a real pickle. They have this tension within them. So they go to their mother church, which is the church in Jerusalem, where James, the brother of Jesus, is one of the leaders, and Peter is one of the leaders. And so they send some representatives to Jerusalem. And that's the question. They're like, these people, the Gentiles, they don't think like us. They don't behave like us. So should they come to church with us? And James, the brother of Jesus, this is his response to that question. This is his response. He says in verse 19, it is my judgment, therefore, that we should not make it, what? Difficult That's important. That's really, really important. That's what the whole core of the church. It says, we should not make it difficult for the Gentiles who are turning to God. We should not make it difficult for the Gentiles who are turning to God. And boy, we as a church, we're really good of making it really, really hard. Aren't we? We all have been in those kind of churches, you know, that where it's hard because you're like, oh, no, you can't go there unless you have X, Y, and Z. And here what you see is that it's a real mandate here to live within the tension, to live within the messiness of life. There's going to be people that are going to have messy lives. A lot of us do. And there's a tension because they're not like us. They're coming in here, and maybe they're not like us. They don't think like us. They don't behave like us. And so there's this tension. And it's like we got to live within that tension. See, we want the people no one else wants so that God can turn them into the type of people that everybody wants. We want the people no one else wants so that God can turn them into the type of people everyone wants. That means we live within the tension. That means that love and truth are a balance that has to be worked out. In other words, for us, the way we approach a truth, if we share truth, and oftentimes truth comes into the context of relationships where we share, hey, I just want to encourage you. It's in a context of a loving relationship, but yet also there needs to be love. Because love without truth is hypocrisy, and truth without love is brutality, and so we got to walk that fine line. And then number five, you need to consider our hope. You need to consider our hope. Get connected, make a difference. Get connected, make a difference. That's one of the things that you get at this church. That's part of explaining the unexplainable. That is that we believe that every one of you here this morning can make a difference. Not only can you make a difference, but God shaped you to make a difference. Go to Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6. We see there the church it's struggling. It doesn't know what to do. And you know what the solution is when they find themselves in a ministry awkward situation? They put everybody to work, all hands on deck. Everybody gets to work in the church and serve in the church. And when everybody rallies into that end to serve in the church, this is what happens. And you ought to read the whole passage at some point. But in verse 7, it says, so the word of God spread, the number of disciples or people that followed the leadership of Jesus in Jerusalem increased rapidly. And a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. You see, God is not looking for a small band of superheroes. He's looking for an army of servants. He's not looking for a small band of superheroes. He's looking for an army of servants. TRBC is not built on the talents of a few, but on the sacrifices of the many. I want you to know that TRBC is not built on the talents of a few people. It's built on the sacrifices of the many. And when that happens, when we advance the mission of God, we see people grow in their faith, but also the church grows as well. The church grows as well. Get connected. Make a difference. I want to introduce you to Ashley. I want you to come up here, Ashley. I want to introduce you to her, one of our teen leaders. I'm going to give you an example of someone who stepped up and made a difference. And so Ashley, come up here. Now, Ashley is already a graduate, right?
Yes.
Already had the whole speech, salutatorian, right?
Yes.
And now you're out of school to your enjoyment and to our sadness because we are going to miss some of your leadership. Now, you have done quite a bit this year, haven't you? Like, you've been really, really involved, not only in a youth group, but beyond that, haven't you?
Yes. Do you want me to talk?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Well, like, FCCLA, I was really involved, and I helped the church out with the soccer program by raising money with our 3K and just different things like that.
Now, one of the things you were really involved with was one of the things that we're talking about today, which is the reaching of every man, woman, and child, underlined, bolded, because you were a captain for a backyard Bible club team, weren't you?
Yes.
Now, you went to Corpus to train. Tell me a little bit about that. How was that for you, going to Corpus as a team captain with the team with you. What was that like? What was the biggest takeaway of getting trained in Corpus?
It was really different because we've always gone to Austin, and so I didn't know how to, like, I wasn't familiar with the location and stuff like that, but it was really fun, and, I mean, there were a whole bunch of different personalities on my team, and just, I mean, I was scared a little bit because I thought some were going to be, like, a little trouble, but we were good all together, and everyone was, like, they understood why we were there, so it was
What did the training consist of?
Well, we have, like, a little book, and I had to, like, assign people to, like, the different things, like the gospel and the Bible story and the skits, and so we just went over those. They were really, like, my team was really supportive, I guess. I don't really know how to say it, but they just, they knew why we were there, so they were like, okay, well, let's do it, and, like, they
was to learn how to share the gospel. And then you were leading a team the next week, which is last week, to actually get to share the gospel with our kids here, right?
Yes.
Talk to me about this last week in the Backyard Bible Club. So what was that like? You know, what were your clubs like? What was that like this week for you?
It was really good. After Corpus, we were really pumped because we spent, like, a whole week together, and we just grew as a team, and we were, like, I don't know. We were like a little family. So just going back out this week was really cool. And we saw a lot of people that we knew. And it was just really exciting. And I love to, like, it's cool when you share the gospel. And, like, there's a kid out there, like, shaking his head, like, yeah, he understands. And then he comes and he, like, he's so young and they actually understand.
You had an opportunity, right, to have kids come, you know, to set aside, to talk about, you know, their response to the gospel, didn't you?
Yes.
What was that like?
That's really cool. Like, one time, when we were in Corpus, like, the first day, there's this girl named Sasha, and, like, she was really, really young, and I didn't know that. I thought she was just coming over to, like, hang out with me because she was really young, but she actually understood everything, and that's really cool, and, like, they're so young. Like, I didn't know all that when I was their age.
So here you were engaged in the mission of God. You're helping kids know God, and you're helping them make him known, or you're making him known. Like, if you had to say, you know, a couple of words of what was the biggest takeaway of it all, what would it be for you and your relationship with God? Like, how did that affect your relationship with God?
Oh, like, okay. So I've been doing this for 4 years, and, like, throughout, like, just teaching them has, like, strengthened my relationship so much because, like, you're learning too, I guess, and I don't know. I think this, like, by doing Backyard Bible Club and boot camp, I have, like, really gained a relationship with God. Like, if I had never done that, I probably wouldn't be, like, here.
Isn't that interesting that it's when you're engaged in the mission that you begin to be strengthened in your faith? And that's true of all of us as well. Like, you don't have to be part of the Backyard Bible Club to know that when you participate in the mission, your faith is going to be strengthened. Thank you, Ashley, for sharing that. Let's give her a round of applause here. Thank you. I'm going to show you a video of what happened this week at Backyard Bible Club. So let's look at it.
Born to embrace, not accept it. We were given nothing more, so we kept it. As the colors of our boots keep fading, we live a life that we hate without saying. Who would listen to the cries of a poor man? Never done nothing, how can we be something? Every heart has an hour of existence. Every breath brings a chance for redemption. Yeah. It's love.
Let's go.
like we were children. Make us feel like we're still living in a world I know.
I just love it all. I like to meet the kids and stuff. They're really cool.
Okay, my favorite part was leading my first kid to Christ.
Yay!
Similar to last year, we just needed to know that one kid that knew a whole bunch of kids. And so it's pretty exciting to see a whole bunch of kids come because of that one kid, one or two kids.
What is sin?
The one sin is when you say or do the thing God has
wanted.
Hi, this is Jesse, lead pastor for Two Rivers Bible Church. Our mission is to lead you to know God and to make Him known. Our desire is that every man, woman, and child would have that opportunity. Our dream is that we could take a picture of heaven and represent it here on earth in the diversity that we're able to reach. Our hope is that you too could partner with us by sharing this message to your closest unchurched friends and family.